Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray together, shall we? Father, there is really nothing quite like it when your people get together and when your folks, your children, come together under the blood-stained banner of Christ and lift up Jesus in worship, in praise, in prayer. Father, we want you to know today, we don't understand everything, but our wagons are hitched to Jesus and we're following Him wherever He wants us to go. I thank you for Second Mile Church. Thank you for birthing this wonderful place called Second Mile Church. Lord, I'm so excited about what you're doing in these days, and I'm even more excited about what you're going to do in the coming days. Lord, I just give myself to you afresh and anew this morning. We give you our hearts and our lives. Make us brand new. Those that need to be saved this morning, I pray that today might be the day of salvation. For those that are struggling this morning and are hurting, bind up our wounds. And for those that are here this morning that are in need, financially, relationally, socially, spiritually, whatever the needs are, we know that you're able to supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I pray for the loneliest folks that are here this morning. Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That He would befriend those who are lonely this morning. Lord, I don't know why, but my mind and heart is on our widowed ladies and our widowers, our men who have had to say goodbye to loved ones, and our single parents, Lord, for whatever reason are single again, and some of them are raising kids and children and families. If you're here this morning and you're a single parent or you're a widow or a widower, would you just stand to your feet so we can pray over you? Just stand to your feet wherever you are. That's right. Just all over the building. Widowers, single parents, folks who are in a struggle, in a battle by yourselves. Father, you see these brothers and sisters of mine as they have stood to their feet. We don't want to embarrass anyone. We don't want to single out anybody. But Lord, I do pray that you'd put a hedge of protection around these dear people and that you would empower them to be all that you want them to be. I thank you, Lord, for your ability to bind up our wounds, your ability to give us what we need when we need it the most. Some of these dear people need you to minister to them today. Remember, one of our ladies told me last week she was really, really lonely, missing her husband. I pray that you would touch these dear folks today. And these single parents, Lord, they've got so much on them. I pray that you would give them the time and the energy and the passion and the finances to take care of their families. Well, Lord, we love you, and we want you to know that we're going to serve you all of our days. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I've got to mention this or I'll be in trouble with a boy over in North Carolina. These flowers were given by, any of y'all remember Bruce Miles? And he sent those. He wanted to be a blessing to the church today. And he wanted me to know, I guess, that he still loves me and knows me anyways. So I just thank Bruce for doing that. And I think he got in touch with Laura, and she's the one that helped set that up. But anyways, we wanted to thank him for the beautiful gift that he's given us today. And if you have your Bible this morning, thank you, Olivia, for helping us out today. I don't know what's wrong with me, y'all, but I can't get away from the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. We're in that thing tonight. We're going to be in it again this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about choosing a church. Choosing a church. And we're going to be in Revelation 1, verses 11 through 13. I know we've been up and down a lot today. Can y'all honor God's word by sitting? Okay, everybody stand. Y'all don't respond pretty quick. Anyways. This is the word of the Lord for the Lord's people as I see it today. Revelation 1, chapter 11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that I spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. Mike Rainey, ask God to bless the word today, would you, my brother? Amen. Please be seated. I don't know if you all have noticed this or not, but there are large numbers of people that are church shopping. There's a lot of folks church shopping. We've had several guests and visitors over the last few weeks, and these folks are looking for a church. And some of those folks have just moved into town, and they're looking for a church to attend, a church to be a part of. Some of these folks that are visiting with us are hurting, and they've had something happen in their family, and they're needing some answers to some of life's greatest questions. There are some that are obviously dissatisfied with the church where they are, and they're looking for a place where they can join and change churches. And then there's another group that's... Really doesn't want to belong anywhere, and they're not really church shopping, they're church hopping. I'll talk about that in a little while, but their shopping list, the folks who are church shopping, they've got a shopping list. You girls understand what I'm talking about, right? Hello, girls? All right. Now, their shopping list includes some things like this: dynamic worship. And basically what that means is they're looking for their preference of music, okay? They're looking for great preaching. They're looking for some comfortable facilities. Some folks are looking for different programs and ministries that can minister to a lot of different age groups. A lot of things on the shopping list, and maybe... at the top or maybe at the bottom, they're looking for a charismatic, good-looking pastor. Well, We flunked the last one, amen. But anyways, there's folks that are shopping for a church this morning, and so we're going to talk for the next few minutes about choosing a church, and I think that's significant, especially in the days that we're in. I saw a sign an ad in our local newspaper several months ago, and that ad said this: attend the church of your choice. And it all sounds good. I mean, we're supposed to have it our way, amen? In this society that we live in, I mean, it's your choice to live the kind of life you want to be. It's our choice. It's all about choice. And so that sounds all good, but when I began to study that, I came here to tell you today, that is horrible, terrible advice. Jesus is building His church. We learned several weeks ago, He's building His church. He's putting it together. He injected the church into human history supernaturally at Pentecost until one day, as we'll talk about tonight, He's going to eject the church supernaturally out of this world in something we're going to call the rapture. We'll talk more about that tonight. But Jesus has a church home for every one of His children. And it's not about attending the church of my choice or becoming a part of the church of my choice. So let's get into the message here. Now, I need to say this in context. When I use the word church this morning, I'm not talking about the worldwide church. I'm not talking about the universal church. I'm talking about a local body of believers, a local assembly, the local church. Now, we see seven different churches that John was writing to here in chapters 2 and 3, and I talked about that last Sunday night. But these seven churches, I think, are going to help us this morning in choosing a church. Now, some of you all have chosen a church, and you're good there, and some of you are still looking for a church. Some of you are probably wondering if you're in the right church this morning. Well, hopefully the Word of God can help settle some of these issues for us. All right? and the first thing that jumped out at me in verse 11 was, what's the location of a church? What is the location of a church? Now, the churches that John's writing to here were located in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And it's very interesting, when you look at these seven churches, they're kind of in a circular pattern, almost like they're on a postal route. And so the letter, the message that John was hearing, was to be written down and sent and read and circulated in all seven of these churches. And so the location of a church is important to some people. The geographical location, I'm saying. So should that be the number one criteria in choosing a church? Well, there's the Rainies. I'm sorry, I hate to pick on y'all, but you know, they drove all the way here from exit 1 this morning to get here. And here's some folks from Woodlawn. How long does it take to get here from where y'all live in Woodlawn? 20 minutes? 25 minutes? Depends on traffic. Some of you drove from way out in Sango to get here. Some of you drove, well, we've got a couple here that drove all the way from Henrietta. Y'all know where that, where's Peggy and Paul? Right here. And then my in-laws drive all the way from Oak Grove, Kentucky, to get here. And there's a couple in our church, they're not here this morning, but they drive all the way from Hendersonville every Sunday to get here. And you all are passing dozens and dozens and dozens of churches to get here this morning. And so I don't think geographical location, now it's really great to have a church in a location that's easy access to the road and easy to get in of, easy to get out of. And I just want to go on record, I'm so thankful for our law enforcement folks that help us get in and out of the parking lot safely. Amen? Amen. But geographical location must not be. We've got so many of you all coming from long distances. So what is it? Well, I also saw a sign a few years ago that said, attend a church nearest to you. Well, y'all aren't quite going by that. Some of y'all are, some of you not. And so, here's what I want to say, and here's what I believe the Word of God's pointing out to us this morning. In choosing a church, it's more important to look at the, not at the location of convenience, but a location of conviction. Where is the church located in terms of their conviction? Does that make sense? I mean, what do they believe about the Bible? What do they believe about Jesus? What do they believe about salvation? What do they believe about baptism? What are they teaching about communion? Where is the church located in terms of their convictions? What are they teaching? What do they believe? That kind of thing. And then also, where is the church located, not only in terms of their convictions, but where are they on the moral issues of our day? What do they believe about abortion? What do they believe about marriage in the home? What do they believe about same-sex marriage? What do they believe about gambling? What do they believe about all these issues that morally and ethically that we're faced with today? Where is the church located in terms of their conviction? You know, many of our mainline denominations have kind of caved in to some of these moral issues that the church has always stood for and preached about, and they've capitulated to our culture. I don't even know where that word came from. I think I'll say that again. Some of these denominations have capitulated to the culture rather than being change agents. You know, folks, we're to be salt and light. We're to be salt and light in our community. We're supposed to be changing the culture, not adapting to it. And so where is the church that you're visiting? Where is the church that you belong? Where are they in terms of their conviction? Billy Graham, several years ago, was given he won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And he made this statement when he received that award. He said, "Our forefathers, including George Washington, would not recognize the society they sacrificed to establish. We have confused liberty with license and are paying the awful price." That's what Billy Graham said several years ago. And so I wouldn't choose a church on the basis of convenience, but rather on their convictions. Does that make sense? So where's the church located? Number two, what's the intention of the church? Not only what is the location of the church, what's the intention of the church? Now look at verse 12. "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw," and here it is, "seven golden lampstands." Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, but a lampstand in the Old Testament temple and the New Testament temple was an elaborate piece of equipment that gave light to the inner sanctuary in the temple and the holy place. And that lampstand, your King James Bible calls it, I think, a candlestick. And that's really not a good description. We would call it today a what? A menorah, right. And it has a center big stem, and out of that comes seven branches. And in each branch, there's a bowl where they would put oil in that bowl, and then there'd be another piece, and in the top was a wick, and it would come down. And when you lit that wick, boom, it gave light to the inner sanctuary. That's what a lampstand was. Well, John tells us in chapter 1 and verse 20 that the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And basically what we're talking about here, the church is to be a lighthouse of truth. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be a lighthouse of truth. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let me read Psalm 43:3 to you. "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle." A church ought to be teaching truth. And not Andy of Mayberry. I was at a church a few years ago up in Louisville, and the Sunday morning messages were being focused on what's that character, Isaac? SpongeBob. He had seven Sunday morning messages based around SpongeBob. And this guy, Rick, had a PhD. And I'm like, where's the truth in all this? So we're to preach the Bible. We're to teach the Bible. We're to teach truth. We're to be a lighthouse of truth. And by the way, everything else other than what Scripture addresses is opinions. And Baptists are like noses. We've all got opinions, right? And so my opinion has to be based on whatever God's Word has said. We're to be a lighthouse of truth. And the Scriptures are full of absolute truths. What's true yesterday, today, and forever. And so we're to be a lighthouse of truth. And then we're also to be, I think, turn with me to Philippians 2 real quickly if you've got your Bible. I think this is important as well. Philippians chapter 2. Let me hear those pages this morning, y'all. Philippians chapter 2. And look at verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now, Paul wrote these words 2,000 years ago. Among whom you shine as what? Lights in a dark world, or in the world. We are to shine for the glory of God. A church ought to have a shining, brilliant, bright testimony. In other words, what kind of reputation does the church have in the community that you're serving? Now, you do know that lampstands have problems, right? I mean, sometimes the wicks are too short, and the oil gets low, and the light goes out. Now, the churches that John's writing to, all seven of them, it hadn't even been 60 years since the Lord had ascended back to heaven, and yet five out of these seven churches are commanded to repent by the Lord Jesus. They've got division. They're dealing with flagrant sin in their church families. There's all kinds of heresy being taught, and they were in danger of having their light removed, the lampstand removed. And so just because a church looks good, sounds good, smells good, doesn't mean it's in good shape. And I want to go on record, and I love, I come from a large church, but just because the church is bigger doesn't mean it's better. Does the church teach truth? And do they have a good, shining example? Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The reason we're here is to bring honor and glory to Christ. We're going to lift Him up. Now, I need to say this. Wicks need trimming and oil needs checking from time to time. I said, wicks need trimming and oil needs checking. And why is that? Because we have a propensity and a potential to sin. And so I was talking to a lady a couple weeks ago, and y'all, she had been in 8 churches in the last 5 years. Now, she wasn't church shopping, she was church, yeah, and there's a difference. But, and I know none of us are like this, but some folks will just pack up and leave every time any little controversy comes up in a church and go look for another church. Sometimes the best thing to do is hang in. And pastors are like everybody else, we make mistakes, and we say things sometimes when we're in the flesh we shouldn't say. I've asked you all to pray for me that I don't do something stupid. I could do something stupid in a heartbeat. Y'all pray for me. But every time I do something wrong, don't pack up and leave. Pray for us. Come in and help us do it better. Right? But some folks will jump ship every time a problem arises. They'll find something inconsistent they don't like, and they'll go church shopping. Here's a novel truth. If you find the perfect church, guess what? You can't join. Because that's right. And so I don't know what is it about pastors, but people will walk up to you and tell you anything. They will. What, do we just look like that? I mean, I don't get it. But I had a guy tell me, this was before we started this church. I had a guy tell me, well, I'd come to your church if there weren't so many stinking hypocrites. And I will tell you what, when somebody starts talking about my church family, I get real defensive. And so you want to know what I told him? I said, well, why don't you just come on anyways? One more won't kill us. A lot of good that statement did, right? Anyways, every church I've ever been in has their share of hypocrites. Every church I've ever been in has their share of half-hearted, half-in, half-out, half-committed, lukewarm believers. Jesus said the wheat would grow together with the tares. But can I tell you something positive? Every church I've ever been in has a group of people in it that love the Lord Jesus with all of their heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. About 17 months ago, there was a core group of people, about a dozen of them, that were ready to plant this church and start this church. And then we had another 10 or 12 come on board with our core group a few months back. I want to tell you, that bunch, they'll love you, they'll serve you, they'll pray for you, they'll minister to you and your family. I almost have to tell them, slow down, stop. You've done enough. In every church, you'll find some folks who are generous, who are giving, who are loving, who will do whatever, who will be the hands and feet of Jesus. So what does the church that you're looking for, what's their intention? Are they teaching truth? Do they love people? Do they have a good reputation in the community? Not perfect, but what's their intention? What do they look like? What do they sound like? How are they getting things done? Is their testimony bright? Do they have a good witness in the community? And here's the last thing I want to say. What's the attraction of the church? Look at verse 13. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. Did you catch that? In the midst of the seven lampstands, in the midst of the seven churches, one like the Son of Man. Jesus is in the midst of the churches. You know what makes the church the church? It's Jesus. Jesus is what makes the church. He is the church. And I have found out that if you'll lift Him up, He'll draw people to Himself. If we'll make much of Jesus down here, and we'll continue to honor Him and praise Him and glorify Him, Jesus will draw people to Himself. That's what the Word of God says. That's what Jesus said. And I want to tell you, as long as I'm here with you, man, we're going to make much of Jesus. He's the best attraction we've got, y'all. I know we got billboards out here and we got signs and all that stuff, but I want to tell you the best attraction this church has is Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, it's all about Him. Now, those of you that didn't say anything, turn to the other neighbor and say, it's all about Him. One of these days when we stand before Him, we're going to realize it is all about Him. Now, how many of y'all know Brother Shep? Brother Shep was in between churches a few months ago, and he was visiting churches before God called him to his next assignment. And he went to a local church, and he called me Sunday afternoon, mad as a hornet. I said, "What's the matter with you?" And he said, "Well, I went to such and such church, and I didn't hear the name of Jesus but one time." He said, "I didn't hear it in the sermon. He said, I didn't hear it in a prayer. The only time I heard the name of Jesus was one time in a song." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is all we've got, and He is enough. If I be lifted up, hello? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all people to myself. And so, you know, why would you take Jesus out of a sermon? Why would you take Him out of a prayer, out of a song? That's like taking words out of a sentence. Heat out of the fire. That's like taking, notes out of music, I guess. And look at verse 18 in chapter 1. It says, "I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive." How long? Forevermore. And Jesus amened Himself. He said, "Amen." If Jesus is alive and He is, how can the church be dead? I think what happens sometimes, look at chapter 3, verse 20. These are the words of our Lord. He's there at the church at Laodicea. And this is not a salvation verse here. I don't know why we use it that way. This is a discipleship passage. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What does that tell you? He's on the outside of the church. He's on the outside of the church. Second mile, can I come in? May He never be on the outside of the church. May He always be on the inside, where He's being praised and glorified and honored. He's alive. He's not in the tomb anymore. He's not on the cross. He's alive, and He walks in the midst of the churches. And I can't say it enough. He's the greatest attraction we've got. Say the name Jesus with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Jesus. Say it one more time. Jesus. Jesus. There is something about that name, isn't it, church family? And so, how does your shopping list look this morning? Does the church lift up Jesus? Is He being glorified? Is the Bible being taught? Are folks being reached? Are the hurting being helped? Are the heartbroken having their wounds bound up? Are lost people being saved? Are folks from all different ages being drawn to the church? You remember the ad that I began with? Attend the church of your choice. We had better attend and join the church of God's choice. Father, we have come to the end of this message, and I have no idea, Lord, exactly what You want to do with it. But I ask, Lord, that You might bless Your word and bless Your people. Maybe there's one here, or two, or three, or four that's not a part of the family of God. And that comes through repentance and faith. And so this morning, Lord, if there is one here and isn't sure about his or her membership in the family of God, well, I pray that today might be the day of salvation. And if you're here this morning and you're not absolutely sure that you're a believer, that you're a Christian, that you've been saved, if you, with childlike faith, with a repentant spirit, would say something like this, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. My sins have separated me from You. I believe that. But I also believe that Jesus died on a cross and took my place, became my punishment, my sacrifice for sin." As the pastor talked about this morning, I know He's alive this morning. Right now, through tear-stained eyes of faith, I surrender my heart and life to Christ. Save my soul today. Forgive me of my sin. And give me the life that you died and rose again for me to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed and asked Christ to save you, you became a part of God's family this morning. If you really meant this with the Lord. You cannot be a private follower. You got to go public with Jesus. He went public for you. We're going to ask that you'd come this morning. Many of you just need, you're struggling with church issues, membership. Some of you don't know where you belong, don't not sure what. This is an old-fashioned altar, a place to meet God and pray. I don't ask you to come. There'll be people here to pray with you. But you've got to come. Let's all stand. This is our hymn of response, our time of invitation. You come. God's spoken to somebody here this morning. Just pray for those around you. Father, we thank you for the church. Thank you for what Jesus did for us, died for us, was raised for us, and one day, Lord, he's coming back for us. And until then, Lord, keep us strong. Keep us faithful. Help us to love folks the way you do.
Yeah.
We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.